Yesterday at lunchtime, after the outreach, Pastor Schaller and several of us were talking about Psalm 6. And Psalm 6 is like, the Psalms give us a way to talk to God that is like both shocking in some way, because, you know, you can find a couple of Psalms in here. Like, I know that there are people, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I know that there are people who have wounded you, offended you, done something to you, and you have really wished that God would strike them dead. You know, Psalm 109 is one of those. You know, there's a verse there and there that says, I would like Satan to stand at the right hand of my enemy. You could pray that to the Lord. You know, you could pray those things. You don't necessarily want to pray those kind of prayers in an open air prayer meeting. That probably wouldn't be good. But you could pray those kinds of prayers to the God of all grace and the God of all mercy, knowing that your anger won't be transformed into his action on our terms. Like, he won't do things the way that we want him to do them. He will do things in accordance with his purpose and in accordance with his mercy and in accordance with his grace. So if you really feel that way, unburden yourself of that. The God of all grace, the God who made us all, understands that we're dust, and he's given us a collection of prayers and songs to sing to him in any situation. And this one starts with David saying, rebuke me not in your anger. You know, he's really making the case. I understand that I need discipline. I understand that I've done something wrong. Have mercy on me, Lord. Mercy, Lord. For I am weak, and let's get that out of the way. Heal me, verse 2, for my bones are vexed. It's like it's really, the sin nature is deep in me. I understand that. You understand that. My soul is vexed. But you, Lord, how long before you listen to me and answer the situations that I'm in? Deliver my soul, verse 4, and save me for your mercy's sake. It's like you could tell God that he's merciful, and then in the next line you can say, God, I need mercy. Like, it's like, let's remind God. He doesn't need reminding, but we can remind him anyway. It's good for us. It's good for us to like remind him about what he says about himself in the Bible. And so that's like, you could tell him that you're weary with groaning. And you could tell him also, verse 5, I feel like I'm going to die. And what good is it? What good is it? I can't give you thanks if I'm dead. So I feel like I'm going to die. I need you to fix this. And we notice toward the end of this psalm, things begin to change. After he empties himself of all this, verse 7, my eye is consumed with grief. It waxes old because of my enemies. And then he starts to speak to the enemies. And he starts saying to the enemies, depart from me, workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. There's a confidence there. When you get to this place in your walk with God, when you understand that you can empty everything out to him, you can make your complaints known to him, you can ask God to strike your enemies and trust God to do the right thing in his mind and in his order, you can come to this place and say, God has heard my supplications. He will receive my prayer. That's an amazing thing. You can announce those kind of things over your enemies. Because we are in a world where we continually seem to think to be marginalized as believers. The way that we think and the way that we worship the Lord and the way that we consider people and all people created in the image of God, the way that we feel about that, we have a lot of enemies that are surrounding us. We feel like some people would say, you are on the wrong side of history. It's like that is like a statement that people make, like, you know, like this is what the world is like nowadays. And those people really who say that to you really are ignorant of the history of mankind. Because you can go back throughout all, you could go back before Jesus Christ into the ancient empires of the Hittites and then also into the Greek empires. All these empires, you can find the same kind of social, human issues that are plaguing our society today. And there has always been people who have sought the face of the Lord and have been wrong in the sight of those who do not seek the face of the Lord. And I think that, you know, the things that Pastor Schaller has been saying in the past couple of weeks, last Sunday with the idea of Martha, Mary, God gives an answer of truth, and then God also understands our tears. And then on Wednesday night, he talked about, Mary breaking the alabaster box of ointment on Jesus, but there was a scoffing that went on in the midst of the disciples that you are doing something that is wasteful. And then he took us to Acts 26, and he talked about Paul, who is incarcerated. He is in captivity in the Roman justice system. And he was put there by his brothers, the Jewish people. And he was put there because he's speaking of Jesus and creating churches all over the Roman Empire. And then in the midst of this, Jesus, the king, said to Paul, you are permitted to speak for yourself. That's the thing. We are permitted to answer for ourselves. What is our answer? That's a big question. It's like, when we are permitted to speak for ourselves, what kind of answer will we give? Well, if we've gone into the Psalms and we've learned how to pray those things, then the answer that we give will be an answer of love, mercy, grace, and exhortation, and also admonition. We speak to darkness. We speak to darkness because the light is in us. And the things that we answer in the midst of this darkness, even though Paul was under the control of the Roman justice system, his voice was heard by people at the highest level. You could go on through his history. He wound up winning people from Emperor Caesar's, from Caesar's household, because of the things that God put him into. He said, you are permitted to answer for yourself. And Paul said, I think myself happy, because I shall answer for myself. I shall answer for myself. And I think at the very end of Acts chapter 26 is maybe a really important thing to say. Agrippa, King Agrippa, the Roman ruler, said, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. Verse 28. That's amazing. Just before that, another guy said, you're out of your mind. Resurrection, miracle, Noah's Ark, Virgin Mary, flying horses coming to take over the world. I just like to throw that in. I just like flying. I just love the flying horse illustration. It's just like really awesome. You know, they even show it sometimes when I show it at the movies sometimes, a flying horse. And I'm like, oh, but you don't need to know that I go to movies occasionally. You almost persuade me to be a Christian. And then Paul said this, like, this is maybe the most important point here, and I'm going to finish. And the important point is that you can speak for yourself. And do you have this attitude? Is this your attitude when you speak for yourself? Verse 29, Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but all that hear me would be like me, except for these chains. Is that something that you can say as a believer? I wish that everyone would be like me. That's, you know, this is where we need to get to in our prayers and our thoughts and our conversation, our communion with God. Is like, I can answer for myself, and is my answer going to be this kind of answer? I think the best thing would be that you would believe like I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that would bring you into all kinds of blessing and all kinds of understanding about where you're going and who you are and what God is going to do for you. And I think that's like, we need to like confront that in our hearts. It's like, you know, I'm nervous about being on the wrong side of history, but really, when all is said and done, I see in Revelation that I'm on the right side of history. I'm on the only side of his story, the only side that matters. They compress the word history, but they don't really, when you take the word apart, you know that the whole of what we're about and the whole of what we're living through is his story. So I'm really on the right side. And if I answer, I can say to someone, you know, you may not like who I am, you may not like what I believe, but I know best. I know that it would be better for you to be like me than for me to be like you. Because I have Christ in me. He's the hope of my glory and the hope of my salvation and the hope of my eternity. And so if we can get this in our hearts, and I say, use the Psalms. When you're feeling bitter, when you're feeling angry, go find one in there and just like read it before the Lord and say, this is your word. You said that I can say these things. I'm asking you to take me into a better place so that I can express your mercy. And when I have a chance to testify, I can say to someone really, truly, honestly, it would really be better if you were like me. I don't need to be like you. I don't need to be like you. There's a great verse we talked about on Friday night. We had a little meeting at our house with some couples. Proverbs 17:1. Better is a dry morsel with love than a house of feasting with strife. If I just got the dry, if I got the one basic element of life, which is Jesus Christ is my Savior. If I got that one basic element of life, that one dry morsel that never disappears, then I'm full of love. I've got it. I don't need to have a lot of other things, a house of feasting, because that's just going to bring strife. And I can answer to people, be like me. Be like me. Say it. Stand up. Get ready for Pastor Barry's message. Stand up. Stand up and just, you know, just pretend you're talking to someone. You really need to be like me because I am a believer in Jesus. And you can be like me with a simple prayer. Amen. Amen.
Wow, that was awesome, wasn't it? Man, let's just give the Lord our quiet praise offering for that word. That was really so edifying. Father, we're just so thankful for the message that we can speak to you, God. And thank you that you are also not moved by the way we speak to you. And you don't act the way that I act when I speak to you. The world is a much better place in those conditions. So, Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. We praise you this morning, the worship in our hearts, Lord, in front of us here. We are gathered together on purpose this morning with the sole desire to have you speak to us, Lord. And you have done it, and you will continue to do it. We are thankful, Lord. We praise you. We love you this morning. Your precious name, amen. You may be seated. Just a couple of thoughts here. Got the dreaded 7 a.m. text message. You ready? And we are ready because we have a message, right? We have a message in our hearts. And this will maybe just be some musings. For those of you that weren't here for the announcement, we don't usually talk about football in the pulpit, but Pastor Steve mentioned that the Super Bowl service week will be at 5:30, the church service, right? 5 o'clock, 5:30, I don't know, they'll be making an announcement, but he made the comment that it's so we can see some football games we're planning on in the future. And I was just thinking, I've been seeing football games for 20 years, I don't know what he's talking about, but... And if you'd know the joke, you know the joke. And Pastor Steve's wearing purple today and every day. That's what we love about Pastor Steve. Really, what an awesome family the Androlonis family is, aren't they? They are. The ministry in music and in life, and we had at different times in Hungary, we had Paul there with us and also Sarah with us, and Sarah married into the family, or we married into your family or something. My nephew Tom is Sarah's husband. Wow, that was close. And anyways, we are grateful. We'll just leave it at that. We are grateful. Our family is growing all the time, and it's amazing. So just some musings about this message and the thoughts that Pastor Schauer, I want to echo the thoughts that Pastor Schauer has been sharing have been revolutionary to me. I was thinking how many messages, trying to calculate how many messages I've heard since we came into the ministry. I think I was 9 when I heard my first message, and you know, 3 messages a week and rap sessions and Bible studies. And, you know, we were young and my parents took us and we sat on the floor if we couldn't pay attention and colored and still paid attention. And when we were sick, we got an aspirin before we came to church at 9 o'clock. And, but I'm just thinking about how all of that counsel that I've received from the Word of God and how many messages, and yet I can walk in here this morning with absolute truth and say to you, I have never heard the messages like I've heard them. I never have thousands and thousands of messages and never heard them. And I love that about the Word of God. It's not this static message, but it's a dynamic revelation of who God is in the message. And truth is truth, and it's absolute, but our minds are blown afresh every service when we hear what we hear from the pulpit, and I'm just so thankful for that. In these last days, you know, when we are they the last days? There are a lot more last days than when they were saying the last days in the Bible thousands of years ago. So I don't know. It seems pretty crazy out there today. World sure seems like you could end at any moment. And in one sense, yes, Lord, thank you, Lord, let that happen. You know, we think about class action suits, right? We've heard of these class action suits where somebody is represented by a lawyer who has gone and tried a case. There's been some great injustice or some penalty, and you have been part of the relief from that case, and you are named as a, you know, a participant in that suit. And how many times maybe that's happened with an airline that did something that they shouldn't have done, and I was flying when they did, and I get some money back, or I get 25 extra points on my mileage or something, right? And I don't even know it. I have no idea. I get an email. I look at it. I said, I don't know if that's a scam or if that's real. I'm not even wasting my time. See ya. And yet, probably the greatest class action suit that's ever been made was, you know, the Daysman Redeemer, Job chapter 9, that we have an advocate who has gone on our behalf to the Divine One and has, you know, reached. And I love this thought of, you know, God in eternity and his Son, Jesus, reaching into eternity. And on the other hand, reaching and handing, you know, grabbing the hand of Job, and that there's this connection. Job saying, oh, if I just had somebody that could be my advocate and go before the Father on my behalf. And we have that advocate. You know, we have that advocate. Not only do we have an advocate, but the case has been made and the case has been won, and it was won not because we were deserving of the victory, but because the precious blood of Jesus Christ was shed so that there was no more question about how our relationship with God the Father could be once we become believers in that. It's incredible. There's no question. The case has already been won. It's already over. And there are, you know, how many people in the world today are unaware or have thrown that message into their proverbial spam basket and have not lived in the effects of this incredible gift that Christ has made on our behalf. And the world is an opportunity for us to express something that we have received for all of eternity right now. And we go and we have, you know, and I was thinking about this principle of missions and no, I don't know. We've been given opportunity. It's just incredible. We've been given opportunity. And in one sense, you could almost say we've stumbled into it. You know, we're just walking on the road and God opens the door and we go, oh, that looks good. Let's go that way. And God, if it's not the right door, please shut that in my face quickly. But we go and we walk and we see incredible things happen. And we see fruit from those steps that God gave us the gracious opportunity to take. And not only did he give us the gracious opportunity to take them, he fortified us along the way. He prepared us before we went. He fortifies us along the way. He fills us with his Spirit. And as we are going in his plan, with his edification, we get the fruit. It's incredible. And what do we have that has not been given unto us, you know? And yet we are created with this sense of self-preservation, in some ways healthy, so that when a stone is flying at your head, you duck. That's a good response. You want to duck from flying stones. That's self-preservation in one way. In another way, self-preservation, if it's the wrong kind of self-preservation, is not a good thing. Because really, I should be preserving myself when I duck from the stone so that I can be useful in the kingdom of God, like the prayer said. If I'm dead, my prayers aren't going to be very useful to you, Lord. But we have this incredible opportunity to be a part of something that's already been done on our behalf, and we have that daysman redeemer. We have that relationship with God that's been made. And I heard this interesting little tidbit yesterday, and again, I'm sorry, these are just musings, so you get what you get. But I was thinking, I heard, saw this little snippet on a social media platform, not to be named. But I saw this snippet of a cooking show. And in the cooking show, the gentleman made this comment that, don't judge how much salt I just put in there or something. You know, don't judge me for that. Because if you're going to church tomorrow and you're taking communion, you're not going to be able to take communion if you judge me. And I thought, whoa. Stop the press right there for a minute. If I judge somebody, I can't take communion? I think I've been missing the point for all these years. I think actually the fact that I can go and have celebration of something that happened on my behalf in remembrance of him is because I have judged, but it hasn't been counted against me because there's a great case that's been won on my behalf through the advocacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how much of the world is sitting in a pulpit or sitting in a sanctuary this morning with a pulpit that is saying something along those lines? You better earn it. We got a great place here. You got to earn it. You're only here because you were, you know, you're a good boy or girl this week. And I would say, no, we are here because of the unashamed grace of God. And I was just thinking about that song, What a Beautiful Name It Is. What a beautiful name it is. I wish I could sing like the Androlonus Regan. I'm not going to put you through that torture. But what a beautiful name it is. What an incredibly beautiful name it is. And it's beautiful because my own righteousness amounts to absolutely nothing before God. My own righteousness is as filthy rags. My own righteousness, I have fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of my sin is death. Anything I can do to try to make God pleased, if it's outside of what he's done for us, is not even recognizable by him as useful. Well, you don't believe that? Well, how about Genesis chapter 15? We heard about the Abrahamic covenant this morning. But how about Genesis 15 where, you know, Abraham is being promised once again that his seed will be, you know, many and that he'll be all over the world and all these precious promises. And he goes, okay, well, how can I know this for sure? God says, well, I want you to prepare an offering, do all this stuff, get it ready. It's the parable of the pieces. I'm giving you the fast-forward version. Take the offering, divide it, get it prepared, be ready. And then what happened? He fell into a terrible sleep, a horrible sleep. I don't even know what that terminology means, but I just know that he was out cold while the performing of the actual covenant, thank you. The performing of the actual covenant was taking place. This is how God showed him, like put the stamp of approval on. Okay, you ready? This is what we're going to do. You get ready, you do this, you do this. Good night. I'm going to perform it. And that's what happened. He performed it. The covenant has been made. Why? Because the one capable of making the covenant did it. And you get to have the benefit of it. So this daysman redeemer, it's a beautiful thing that we could be reading about in Job, right? And that it's reality for me today. I have this same redeemer, and he's not requiring me to not judge how much salt you put on your French fries in order to take communion. As a matter of fact, we stop before we take communion and we just say to him, Lord, I have fallen short, but thank God you, the penalty for that has been taken care of, and I want to refresh my relationship with you this morning, knowing fully that when I wake up, the sacrifice that I make is one of praise. The sacrifice I make is I don't have to get up and kindle a little fire and get the, you know, sacrifice prepared, bring the turtle dove over, or whatever it is. But I can kindle a sacrifice of praise in the morning. And you know what that praise is? Thank you, God, that you have done it. That your one-time sacrifice is effective for today and for all of eternity because of who you are in the picture. Not because what I've done to make that any more effective. You know, Abraham had to honor God. He did. He was honoring the way that he asked him to prepare the sacrifice, but it came a point when he said, thank you, your job's done. Get out of the way. Good night. And that's the way it is with us. He asks us. Now, we have this beautiful salvation. What a beautiful name. And you know, it doesn't take us into this cheap grace where the result of our salvation is we live like hell and then come to church on Sunday morning and make it all good. We have a relationship with God that teaches us how to deny ungodliness. But it's through the grace of God. It's not through our own performance. If I rely on my performance to deny the things that are ungodly, I'm going to live in those things constantly because I'm preoccupied with myself. And I love this thought. Philippians chapter 4 has a connection in a way to Jairus' daughter. And this picture, I was thinking how this relates. Okay, bear with me here. Thinking about how this daysman redeemer principle relates and just about the salvation that comes from the Lord himself and how it happens is pretty amazing. And when we read the account in Mark chapter 5, and I won't read all these verses for time's sake, but Jairus, who his name means Yahweh will enlighten, just an interesting side note, Jairus has a daughter, and his daughter is 12 years old, and she's very ill, and she is on her deathbed. And Jesus is having a rat at Peter's mother's house. And there are, and actually, we went in Israel a few years ago. Well, actually, it's been many years ago now, but we went and saw this area where this very likely happened, and it's not this huge area. It's like Peter's house, the little courtyard outside of the temple, the little walkway, Jairus' house. It's all right here. So when the servants come and say, my daughter is ill, it's not like, okay, well, I'm going to take the 4 o'clock flight. It's like literally I'm going to walk from here over to there and we'll be there. And as he gets up, it says that there was a throng of people around him, right? Now, even in that, this little area, there could have been packed tight with people. But it'd be pretty difficult for somebody who was a woman with the issue of blood who wasn't even allowed in that area to be there without people knowing it. Incredibly difficult. Small area, woman who for 12 years, there's that number again, 12 years had had this issue of blood and had spent everything she had on every imaginable doctor and solution that she could think of, and yet she still had the issue. You know what was in her heart? If I touch the garment of the Lord, he'll know that I'm here and his righteousness will heal me. So there she is. And before the Lord can get to heal Jairus' daughter, he's walking thronged about with people, so many people that, you know, tussling up against him, all these things. And her hand goes out and she touches the hem of the garment. And instead of the lawful corruption from somebody with the issue of blood causing him to be corrupted, the exact opposite happens. Virtue flows from the Lord Jesus Christ, and it makes this woman who is corrupt with this issue immediately clean from it. Immediately. And it says that Jesus sensed that virtue had gone out of him. This is incredible. Tell me that your own works are going to be able to help you perform salvation for somebody's trouble. What virtue is in you that can come out of you? My own righteousness? Maybe, but that's his filthy rags. That's the same righteousness that causes the wages of sin to be death. So here he is, and he goes, and the whole, you know the story, they come back and say, Jairus, take your time, it doesn't matter, your daughter's already dead. And he says, you know, the Lord goes there anyways. And what does he do? He faces the scoffing of, you know, hey, don't worry about it, she's just asleep. You're so crazy, you know, this is, and he sits and he takes her hand. Again, a dead body, Jewish law, not good. But instead of being corrupted, virtue flows out and makes whole that body. And it says that straightway she was up and walking, and she was 12 years old, and he says, somebody get her some food because she's hungry. That's what his concern was at that point. Not, oh, she was dead, you blew your opportunity, your time frame, your positioning, you had to stop there, that woman didn't deserve your attention. You don't even know that she was dead, you think she's sleeping. Virtue, the virtue of God, the great court case that has been won. The standing in the presence of God that you and I are going to be able to do one day. We are going to be on our faces before the Lord worshiping because we didn't deserve it, but our name is on that book and our name is written in blood and his beautiful name has caused it, and we are holy like he is holy because he has made us holy, and not because I have 1 ounce of ability to be holy outside of my reckoning on the fact that his blood is what carries me in this day. And we are in troublous times. And I watch this, it's incredible. Things are happening around us, and there's politics and presidents and Senate and Congress. In case you didn't notice, there's other things besides football happening. Actually, I didn't even know they kept the football game on this year. I thought it was canceled. Well, never mind. But the point is, we watch and we listen to commentators. It's amusing. I can take this much of it. And generally, I listen just to see how articulate they are at arguing their case, because their case is full of baloney anyways. But I listen to it and then watch people make comments and how quickly we become judgmental of character. And I stop and say, what is it in you for one iota that makes you think that you have what it takes to even make comment about where somebody's upstanding or lack thereof is? In other words, who died and left you, God? Man, I could keep myself out of a lot of trouble if I would learn that lesson. That I have a daysman redeemer. His name is beautiful. The champion of heaven has come to earth and made it possible for you and I to have access. This is what people who can't sing do. We listen to all the words of our favorite worship songs. We think about them. I write them down, and I say, ah, man, that's just so incredible. It is incredible that we have this beautiful access to the throne of God. It's incredible, and we're broken by it. And just thinking as we close here, you know, the comment that the Lord made was, have peace. She's just sleeping. You know, this is the exact opposition to panic, right? And I was just mentioning in the staff meeting, and You know, I am a person that in my life have been blessed with the ability to not be moved too much by anything ever, for better or for worse. Sometimes that's not a good thing. But, you know, stuff happens, and for whatever reason, I've just had the ability to give it to God and say, whatever, I'm with you, Lord. What do you want me to do? And, you know, recently, just a little challenge, and it happened just for a brief time, but sleeplessness, a little bit, panic, something that was really foreign to me. Trying to throw verses at your panic in the middle of panic is, like, beautiful. Just being transparent about it. And, you know, it was one morning I was sitting having my coffee and reading my Bible, and I just said, Lord, Philippians 4 says, be careful for nothing. And when you look at that in the original language, it means be anxious for nothing. And I said, I don't want to just read that and know that in, like, my ear, but I want to read that and experience the power thereof in every single situation. I want to be able to look at a situation and say, I don't have to be careful. And I said, how does that happen, Lord? Help me, show me. He said, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And prayer is, God, I need this, please, Lord. And supplication is, Lord, I need this. But with thanksgiving is, Lord, I need this, and thank you that you have already given it to me. It is prayer with thanksgiving because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, that I can say, Lord, I have need. Thank you that you have met that need, and that I am living in the experience of your resurrection life in that need, because I have an advocate who's already gone on my behalf. And I'm telling you that the weight of that anxiousness left immediately. And I've just been experiencing so much joy in the Lord. Now, I realize that these are real situations and people face real struggles. And I'm only saying that we have the opportunity to draw nigh to God and let him touch us. And you say, oh, that's not possible. I need that. Well, it wasn't possible that a dead person comes back to life either. But the virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ made that happen in a moment. Not on anybody's time frame, in his perfect timing. Not with anybody else's understanding, but with his understanding of the situation. And you know what? I believe that it's true today in every other area of our life, that we have an opportunity to have that kind of relationship. So yes, thank you, Lord, for Mary. Thank you, Lord, for Martha. Thank you for the differential. Thank you for your kinsman relationship to us. Thank you that we have this incredible advocacy that's made on our behalf, and that all we can do in our lives is simply get the ear of the Lord, speak and ask, but then use this amazing principle we teach the kids in school. Two ears, one mouth. Use mouth half as much as ears, right? Two times one principle. So we ask, and we wait, and we listen, and then we operate in faith in what he speaks through his message, through his word. Pastor Schauer's been telling us, get into the word, muse on a verse, think about it, write it down, meditate on it. Why is he doing that? Because this is where we find out about him. And in him, we have our victory. In him, we have our advocacy. In him, we have relief from suffering and pain. And you know, the suffering and pain that happens in this world is temporal. We have a beautiful brother in the Lord who went home to be with the Lord this week. Mr. James Kirby went home to be with the Lord. And we're going to have a celebration of his life coming up here in the future. But I was just thinking of the joy in that man's life. It was incredible. Every time I ever spoke to him, there was joy because he knew who God was. That's how we have joy, because we know who God is. Not because we are anything, but we know who God is. So today, let's bow our heads and close our eyes and experience the joy of the Lord in the way that he desires for us to. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have poured out an incredible blessing on us, Lord. You've given us the opportunity as the champion of heaven. You fought the battle that we could not fight. You won the victory that we could not win. You took care of death There is no more staying. There is no more victory because we are entered into your presence by your precious blood. The veil has been rent and we have access to the Holy of Holies because of you. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, God. And maybe if there's somebody here today who's never received Christ as their Savior, he wants to be your champion. Just simply invite him to come into your heart. He's already paid the price. Just accept the benefit of the case that's been won on your behalf. Maybe is there somebody here today for the first time who's receiving Christ to be their Savior? Just slip your hand up so that we can pray for you. Is there one? Okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, we are so grateful. We are just grateful this morning. That's all we can say is thank you, Lord. Your blood, your precious blood. Your precious name we pray. Amen.